And yeah, this will be very casual. We just want to chat to you about the evolution, how we started, where we are now, and feel free to ask any questions. I may know the answers, I may not know the answers, but hopefully I will, and if I don't, I'll get you, get your question looked at. Wait, let's start. Let's see, I'll try this. So if you don't know the history of how Evo started, Evo was created by BCAA. BCAA is the British Columbia Automobile Association, similar to CAA and AAA and the auto clubs, probably in each of your countries. What we were really famous for is roadside assistance and insurance. But over time, we determined we kind of need to look at different products. We've been doing this for about 100 years, so we wanted to figure out, what do we do next? And what we determined is, the truth is, our members were not getting any younger. This is kind of funny way. This is our average typical BCAA member. She's very cute, though. The average age of our member is 59 years old. And so we wanted to really figure out, how do we attract millennials, right? We index really low in the millennial population, and so we want to look at new products and services outside of insurance, outside of roadside, which is slowly becoming less relevant, see where we could enter. So welcome, Evo CarShare. So March 24th, 2015, we launched Evo. Evo was a fleet of, at the time, 250 Toyota Prius Cs. We launched the market, four doors, room for five, with bike and ski racks, so made for British Columbia, with the tagline, the car share that's going to get you from here to there with room for your friends. When we launched, the market was really different. So at launch, what was in the market was Car2Go. They had about 500 little smart cars in the city. Zipcar was there. They probably had less than 100 vehicles and sub 20,000 members. And Moto. Moto is a car co-op. Today, they have about 800 vehicles in the market. Today, Car2Go, which became ShareNow, has exited. Zipcar exited, and so what's in the market is really Evo and Moto, which isn't free-floating. Moto's a station-based car share. And then a tiny little player, ZeroCar. They kind of play in the space of car rental, car share. They have about 23 Teslas. So it's not very big, but it's there. And it's a station-based program. What else is there now is peer-to-peer. So Turo is a peer-to-peer platform. They have about 600 vehicles in British Columbia. And then Uber and Lyft. We didn't get Uber and Lyft for a really long time. They only launched in 2020. There's a lot of regulation around it. So that really makes up the car landscape in BC. So this takes you through a little history. So let's go on our journey. So in March of 2015, we launched with 250 vehicles. Quickly, by January, we expanded to 600 cars. In June, we went up to 750, and originally we launched in Vancouver, and I'll show you a map in a couple slides. We expanded to the surrounding suburbs of North Vancouver. 2016, November, we went to 1,000 cars. We hit 50,000 members, and we expanded to another city, New Westminster. So we just kind of expanded outwards from the center of Vancouver. 1,500 cars, 100,000 members, and 2020. Then we launched this past year, 1 year ago exactly, we launched our pilot in Victoria, which is on the island. So it's a completely separate market. We launched with 80 vehicles. As an Evo member, you can access both, but the cars stay in each city. December, we launched EV. We're very excited about this, but this is something we need to learn more about, and I think a lot of you have more experience. We launched 5 electric vehicles. We're very excited and proud of it. We'd love to launch more, but as Greg said, you can't get cars. So if you have access to an EV, if you want to send it away. March, we turned 7. March 24th was our birthday. And then just this past July, we entered micromobility. So we launched a bike share program. And so bike share, electric bike share, is still really new in Vancouver. And so we'll talk about that a little bit later, but we're really looking for opportunities, municipal opportunities, where we can launch electric bike share in cities. But we're approaching it from a private standpoint. And then September, so now we're just about to hit 2,000 vehicles. Over time, we'll talk about membership. We've approved over 280,000 members. We're sitting at about, after attrition, about 100 and close to 190,000 members right now use EVO. And on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, we're launching station-based. So our pick up and drop off at the same spot service. And it's very cool because our bike share and our two different types of car share all live in the same app. So it's about this really seamless experience. So how do we kind of start? How do we get here? So we did a lot of research at first to look at what does a customer want? And really everything we built was around the customer need. And so we determined at the time three really important things for our customer. The most important was convenience. So they wanted it to be really simple and convenient. They wanted all the cars where they needed it, when they needed it, and they wanted it to be really simple. So digital experience, it's one click. If they need help, they want to be able to call us with one click. It was really important for us to be affordable. So we've stayed very true to that right from the beginning. Our commitment is to have the most simple pricing out there. So we have a simple per minute, per hour, per day rate. We launched at 41 cents a minute. In our 7.5 years, we've only ever taken one price increase, and we went from 41 cents to 45 cents. It's an all-inclusive price. You get your gas, your insurance, your kilometers, and all of your parking included. So there's no surcharges, there's no extra weird bundles. It's just as simple as can be, and that's done really well for us. And then flexibility. People wanted it to be flexible. So people in Vancouver, if you haven't been there, we have the ocean, we have the mountains, people like to bike, people like to ski. Even if they don't do it, they like to say they do it. So we really wanted to build this brand around aspiration. So make it easy for you to do cool things with your friends, go biking, go skiing. And so that's why we built that flexibility piece of having room for your gear, your bikes, and your skis. Around simplicity and convenience, it's really simple to sign up. You can register online, you find a car online, you book it, you can book up to 30 minutes in advance, or you just walk up to the car, you unlock, you hit the road, you drop it off when you're done. You can park anywhere in the city, whether it's a city permit spot, meter spot, dedicated spot. There's tons of parking throughout. It's a pretty simple solution. What's been really key for us has been marketing. So when we launched, there wasn't much car share in the market. Car2Go was there, but it was a pretty infant, immature market. There was a lot of education. How did we want to become this really fun brand that everybody loved, right? Car share is kind of like a commodity. People want to get from point A to point B. They might not necessarily care what car gets them there, especially that's what the research showed in Vancouver. So how are we going to make it special? How are we going to make it memorable? And that's been something that's been really important, something we really focus on. So we take every opportunity to create an in-market presence. So we have 2,000 right now moving billboards. So how did we want to make this car really noticeable? So by putting those bikes and ski racks on the top, you can see these cars driving around in big, busy parking lots. We can really easily spot them. So it's like the cars are our marketing. Every parking negotiation we do, we have to get signage. So whether we paint the road, get big signage, they put us on a billboard, these are really, really important pieces for us to build that in-market presence. When we launched against Car2Go. There were these little cute two-car smart cars, but they only have room for two. So we came in and we're like, oh, we have this giant car, we have the Toyota Prius. But it fits more. So we played on that. So our advertising really focused on the space. So it's kind of a cute little ad campaign we did in bus shelters and transit stations. It was our out-of-home campaign. So you can see the letters kind of fit it. But it was fun. Over time, the whole local piece has been big for us. We're made for BC, by BC, and so a campaign we did next was really around focusing on the neighborhoods, really local neighborhoods. So these play on the ridiculousness of, for example, East Vancouver. People there wear plaid, they carry their little puppies in their cruiser bicycles, or in the middle, the British Columbian that wants to do everything. They want to go golfing and biking and hiking and skiing all in one day, or the ones that go up into the mountains and get covered in mud. Those are kind of fun. And the next is a little video. What's more BC than salmon and bears? So, this is a lot. Thank you.
PC thing. Evo car share.
So simple. Our whole philosophy, has always been about being fun, connecting with people, being kind of cute and funny, and that's what we like to, sort of little special things. Marketing can, yeah?
Where did you display these videos?
Where?
Yeah.
Digital. So, yeah, mostly social, YouTube, Facebook, Google. Yeah, that's really where we play. We've done a tiny bit of TV in the past, but not really. Everything is digital on the social channels. After a few years, so at first it was all about building awareness, and we really played on BC. We continued to play on BC, but after a while we gained a lot of members. We had over 100,000 members, so now we needed these people to use the service. How do we get them to use it over and over again versus just be excited to sign up? And so the next focus really became about the different use cases. So we continued to play on funny, but we did a social campaign of fun videos, talk about those weird situations you might end up in where you might want to use an Evo. So I'll share a couple. These are kind of fun. So they're very short, all 6 seconds, really like catchy, quick. We did about 9 fun videos around the reasons. Other big things since launch that we still do, street teams are really big for us, right? So we really have this philosophy of building community and being one with the people and helping answer questions. And so since we launched, we had street teams of 20 plus staff that have become our brand ambassadors. They go out into the field, whether they're at the coolest concerts, at back to school, Evo events, 300 plus events a year we're at in Vancouver. This drives about 30% of our member acquisition. And it's been since launch, and we continue. COVID kind of put a damper on this, so it became a lot of digital, but not as fun. But we're back at being at events. Another part of the street team we sponsor. So we've really focused on integrating ourselves into all the fun things you do in the city. So the summer cinema, we started, this is a cinema in the park in the summer. It's attended by over 80,000 people, and now it's the Evo Summer Cinema. We do events there, and you get to go watch a movie in the park. We have the best parking at the park, so take your Evo there. If you sign up, you get a primo blanket to sit on right at the front. So lots of little ways to do all this. And you might look at this and be like, oh my God, they have such big budgets. We really don't have very big budgets when we talk about marketing. What we've been able to do is a lot of in-kind. Right, you get access to all of our members, but if you provide us access to this event, we'll give all of your members a free membership and 30 free minutes to try the program. So as a concert, they're like, oh, that's great, right? You're providing free transportation to our event. Sure, you can have the title sponsorship, right? So we've been able to use that as a big negotiating chip over time versus handing over dollars. So anytime anybody says this is how much it costs, they say, well, we can pay you 1/20th of that, right? So we were a startup, and we still, 7 years in, we think of ourselves as a startup. Another piece was around, how do we create as much value for our members and connect them to like the cool brands in the city? So we created our Evo Extras program, and we partnered with all the fun little brands in the city that are really hyper-local, and we're willing to provide a reward for our members. It's a really fun ice cream shop, the local ski mountains, and to become our partner, you know, they had to be willing to do fun things with us, host an event, do a cooking class, provide a discount, and just ways to really connect with the brands. So these are an example of a few of the brands we partnered with, and over time we partner with different companies. So on from the marketing, I'm gonna take a sip of water.
Sorry. Everybody's watching a ministry one.
So, So the marketing is the fun stuff. That's what I used to work on, so that's why I'm super passionate about it. But the operations is also really important. So this is kind of how the different departments at EVO are kind of set up. So we have our product and process team, our business operations, our customer operations, and marketing. And you might look at this and be like, oh my God, there's so many big departments. Our product and process team is one person. Our IS team is three people, and it's shared with other BCAA IS needs. So again, EVO sits within the British Columbia Automobile Association, kind of functions on its own. And these are the different areas that work solely on EVO. So on the product and process IS side, this is our team that focuses on the app, all of our user experience, any process changes, the product roadmap and what we're looking at adding in the future, development, working really closely with the VULOC team and all of our partner relations in that area. So without them, the app doesn't work and we fail. So they're really, that one person is really important. Then we have our business operations team. This is our fleet side. So fleet maintenance, all of our repair, our cleaning, our relocation. They deal with Toyota, make sure we get these cars. They deal with getting parts. They've had the biggest struggle this year with supply chain issues. And they deal with all of our claims and admin with all the accidents that happen. So just to give you an idea, our fleet team, so these are all the fleet techs that do maintenance. It's about a team of 15. And then we have our fleet support team. These are contractors that manage these, are out and about dealing with relocating the vehicles and helping with minor repairs. It's about 30 contractors. Then we have our customer operations team. These are the people that keep our members happy. So this is our call center. Our call center takes over 300,000 calls a year. We have about 31 staff. It's a 24/7 call center. This team manages our chatbot, which we just launched, so trying to get as many people to stop calling our call center and get answers to their questions through the app. Team also deals with all of our parking vendors, negotiating parking rates, and with the city, so city relations. She's the happiest, nicest person on our team, which means the city loves us. And then last but not least, marketing. So our marketing team is not that large either. Initially, for the first 5 years, it was two people. And now we have about four people that work in marketing. Sits within the larger BCAA marketing division, but about four people working solely on EVO. So this is our brand strategy, our paid advertising, our social, our street teams, and our sponsorship. So learnings. So what have we learned over these 7 years? We've made lots of mistakes, but we've changed a few things. So in BC, insurance is regulated by the government. So you can only buy auto insurance from the government. ICBC, we used ICBC for all of our insurance, both liability and damage and collision. And over time, we've moved to self-insuring. Self-insuring allows us to decide what maintenance and what repairs we do, how fast we do them, and also keeps our premiums down. So that's been a way we've been able to manage our costs. Recycling parts from total loss vehicles. So if you were ever to come down to Vancouver and we took you to our warehouse, looks like a parts factory. We've got chairs, we've got windshields, we got anything we can salvage from a car that's totally damaged, that's still in good shape, we save. And then we use multiple collision vendors. So by using multiple, we keep our cycle times down and the costs down. Availability is also huge for us. So 2,000 car fleet isn't available every single day. They're not all available. Our aim is to have 93.5% availability on a daily basis. And so a couple things we've learned to do that help keep that number up is when we want to install the VU boxes and get the car ready to in-fleet, we bring the installers to us to do the mocks in fleets versus sending the cars to the shops. We stock up on parts. So this rainy season, we determined that the world had run out of windshield wiper motors. And our availability dropped down to 75% for months because you could not source these. But now we have every single windshield wiper motor probably on Earth. So if you need one, call us. So we stock up. So batteries, mirrors, tires. This year we learned how to refurbish batteries because they'd run out of the specific battery type that the one of our models of Priuses need. So I think it's about being creative. That was a learning for us. We manage a lot of our minor repairs internally. So our fleet techs, if the mirror on the side of the car is knocked off, we can fix those. Little things we fix ourselves. And then when it comes to cleaning, relocation, and fueling, we hire third parties to do all of our cleaning. So it's waterless cleans, and so that's been the most efficient. We use a third party to do our fueling. Initially, when we started, we would do it ourselves, but our fleet's gotten too big, and they're a really great partner. But we do manage our relocation. So relocation is really important for us to get the cars from like the low usage areas to more high usage areas. And so that's that team of 30 that helps move the cars. And we dedicate and put them in hot spots. So airport parking is a really big thing for us. Everybody that gets out of the airport parks these cars at what's called park and fly, the parking lot at the airport. But at times there's like hundreds of cars here, so we really need to cycle those cars out. So those are a few learnings. So here's a couple things that have changed over time. So this is our home zone. So if you look at the left, this is Vancouver when we launched. A little bit hard to see, but the light area is our launch zone when we first launched. Really quickly, within the first 2 years, we expanded out to the darker. And then if you see little peas throughout, we have a lot of satellite zones. So we have parking at the universities, at the ski mountain, at the airport. And so you can pick up and drop off at those locations, as well as within the home zone. And then this past year, last August, we launched in Victoria. And just last week, if you look at that little hump, the big, like the R at the top, that was an expansion area. So we launched with 80 cars in Victoria, and we added 45 last week.
Yeah. Do you have a metric for your density of the cars?
We do.
Square mile or kilometer?
Yeah, so when we launched Vancouver, we probably launched with about 6 cars per square kilometer. In Vancouver, we're closer to 12 cars per square kilometer now. And so Victoria is slightly less dense, and we haven't hit that. So I think in Victoria, we're sitting at about around 6 right now. But it took us time in Vancouver, and so we're on the similar trajectory. So membership growth over time, just to see. So to join Evo, you have to sign up. Then we have to check your driving record. So we have to contact ICBC or your driving authority and send us your record to show you have 2 years of good driving history. Then we approve you. So basically, this shows over time. We sign up about 30 to 40,000 members each year. And this is the number of members over time that have been approved. So we've signed up over 280,000 members. Right now, we're sitting about 230,000 approved. But again, we have attrition over time. So the active members that are currently sitting in our system in the 8th year, we're at about, as of I looked the other day, 190,000 active members. No, those are called 190 enforced members. Active members are different. Okay, yes, go ahead.
I was just going to ask how you define enforced or active. Is that a 12-month period?
Okay, so active, yes. So enforced is basically, if we look in the system right now, who is in approved status, right? So they have a credit card on file, their license, that's how we determine what an enforced member is. Active, which is this slide, these are members, unique members that have taken a trip, at least one trip in the last year, right? So this is, enforced is great, right? But about 30% of our enforced members never take a trip. We gotta figure out how to make them take a trip. But this is a really cool number. So if you look at it, it obviously it goes up each year. A really good metric for us to look at is trips per member and trips per car. Yeah?
Yeah, it was one question regarding the number of trips what's the average usage? One member, how many trips does it do per month or per week?
Yeah, so I'm going to show that in the next slides, but basically we look at metrics of trips per car, right? So on average right now, and I'll show that, trips per car, 7.2 trips per car. If we look at the number of trips we have, so this year we're probably going to be about 4 million trips. If we divide that out by the number of members, it's about an average of 38 trips a year. But that makes up people that never take a trip and people that take a lot of trips. So about 30% of our members take 8 to 10 trips a month. So those are a really great great users. Average age of that type of member is 34 years old.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Your subscription, is it a paid subscription or is it
no? So you sign up once, it's $35 to join. Pretty much it's always free. So if you're, I always say if you pay for an Evo membership, you're probably not that smart, because you can Google Evo and there's a promotion for a free membership and 30 free minutes to try it. It's just a one-time fee. We charge $2 a year as a requirement from the government to be called a car share. But yes, just $2 a year.
So 35 and subsequent years, $2.
Yeah. So right now it's about 105 unique active members. That's the average. So it goes up and down. As you can see in 2020, big dip because of COVID. And we've done a lot of research recently to show what kind of members left, what kind of members came back. And it's really, we lost our commuters, right? People are working from home now, and people started taking more day trips and longer trips. And so that really, that's our new type of member. People are trying to get out of town, they're not traveling internationally as much, so that's a lot of our, the new type of usage that's coming forward. So again, utilization, so some more metrics to look at. When we launched, if we look at the first full year in 2016, we had about 1 million trips. This year, we're on trend to be just over 4 million trips. Again, though, that was 250 cars. This is 2,000 cars. But the important metric we look at is our utilization. So this is the percentage of time every day that the car is used, right? So the fact that it's growing is great. It also shows that a lot of our trips are longer. So I'll show that on the next slide, but it's been going.
When you put confidential, I'm assuming that you're asking us not to take a
picture. Yeah, maybe don't take a picture of this. Yeah. Like, we'll get it in your mind. And if you did, just don't share it anywhere. But, yeah. Another thing we look at, trips per car. So trips per car, when we first launched, a car was seeing about 5 trips a day. On average, cars are seeing about 7.2. So trips per car is really important metric for us. It really shows, are we moving the cars into the right locations where people need them? There's certain areas of the market you cannot get a car if you don't press that button as soon as it's available. But there's other areas that the cars just sit. So as we've gotten better and better at moving these cars, our trips per car has gone up. And
so is it trips per car per day?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Just to give you an idea of how those trips per car work. So different markets have different usage patterns. So in Vancouver, 85% of our trips each day are short trips. They're per minute, like what we call our minute trips. Average length, 15 minutes. 14% are hourly trips. So they're charged our hourly rate, and they average about 1 hour and 20 minutes. And then like tiny 1% of our trips are day trips. And they're at about 23 hours. So they're charged at our day rate. And so if you look at the red line, that shows our average trip duration. So when we first launched, average trip duration was 23 minutes. Over time, and after COVID happened, we were like, oh my God, the trips are so long. Everybody's taking these long trips. But really, those 85% still taking that exact 15-minute trip. It's just we now have more people taking longer hour trips and longer, more day trips to go away on the weekends. It's taking that average up.
Yeah. You were talking about traveling and weekend trips and everything. How do you deal with foreign people? Like foreign license, foreign motor vehicle
permits? That's tough. I'd say the majority of our members are local, right? Because you have to get your driving record approved. And we don't do advertising outside of our BC borders and really locally around our zone. But we accept all international licenses. You just have to be able to provide your 2-year driving record translated. So Vancouver is very multicultural, so we have people from all over, and they just have to provide that driving record. But the majority of our members are international, local residents, because it takes a bit of time to get approved. As much as we wish, like, you could sign up and drive right away, it takes about 24 to 48 hours to get approved, which we hate, but we haven't figured out how to get around it.
What do you mean by driving record?
So you have to contact your driving authority. So whoever gave you your driving license in your country would be able to prove, like, hey, This is Monica. She's been driving for 2 years. She hasn't had any accidents. She hasn't killed anybody. So it's just it's some sort of proof from the place to give your license that shows that you're a safe driver. So that's our way of making sure we don't have unsafe drivers, and because we self-insure, it's important. Any other questions? No? Okay. And if you think of them, you can ask me later. So just a really quick glance, we started about 200,000 trips for about 4,250,000 cars to 2,000. We launched in one city, we launched in Vancouver. Now we're in over 7 cities surrounding Vancouver. 20,000 members in year one to now 180,000. And our team size. When we launched, we were about 24. Pre-launch, it was a team of 5 of us. We worked in what I called our t-shirt factory. It was this warehouse. We worked on tables that were folded. We installed the blue boxes ourselves. When we launched, we had 24. That was admin and call center. And now we have about a team of 120. That's Evo staff and our contractors. This makes us feel happy. We won the best car share in Vancouver award for 7 years. So we like to feel good. The people love us. So what's next for us? As I mentioned, we really want to enter the micromobility space. So we've just recently were piloting and trying to launch Evolve Bike Share. In BC, the ability to launch an electric bike program is regulated by each municipality. So we have to wait for an RFP process to be able to bid on it. There's very few of them. There's one currently in Vancouver, not in Vancouver, in North Vancouver, which is a suburb off of Vancouver, and Lyme just has the 2-year pilot there. So what we've done is we're looking at private. So we're partnering with a lot of local businesses. So Deloitte is a customer for us, Lululemon is a customer. And so what we do is we take 10 or 20 bikes, we park them there, they become available for your customers to use. And that's kind of how we're trying to enter the market. We're also piloting in Whistler. So that's our ski resort town. They're testing out bike share right now. And so in July we put 20 bikes up there, and I think now we're up to 80, and we'll be up to probably 100, maybe 80. I don't have the exact number. And we're testing that out till October. They want to see how bike share works. So when they go to RFP in the spring, they have some learnings. So really keeping our fingers crossed that Whistler is our entry into bike share in the municipal space, and hopefully next will be Vancouver. It's a fleet of electric assist Okai bikes, and they're called Evolve. The other thing I mentioned was on next week, we're launching Evo Return. So this is our station-based vehicle. So Evo is really free-floating, but there's certain areas in BC that really want car share, but operationally we can't make free-floating work. So we're launching, for example, this is in Surrey. Surrey is probably 50 kilometers outside of Vancouver. It's quite dense. So Vancouver has a density of about 6,000 to 7,000 people per square kilometer. Surrey has about 1,500. And so it's too far to say, hey, we're going to have free floating between the markets because we're worried about the cars getting stuck on one side or the other. So we're going to launch a station based there. It's 10 vehicles at 2 transit stops. So it's our SkyTrain, so I guess it's our tram that stops at those locations, 5 at each. And you pick up and you drop off back in that same spot, and it's going to be within the same app. So you can access free floating Evo or Evo Return. And this is our dream, to electrify our fleet one day when we can access more cars. And BC becomes more, we gain the infrastructure. So there's very few charging stations in North America and in Vancouver. So if we look at Norway has 20,000 charging stations. They have population about 5,000, and their land mass is probably smaller than British Columbia. Canada altogether probably has 7,000 charging stations across all of Canada. So we're not very close. We're trying to work with the city to understand how we can help them bring charging to Canada. So if you have any advice, please. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Amidas. Do we have any more questions for Amidas before she leaves the floor? And she'll be around for the next 2 days too, so you can catch her. Francois, go ahead.
I would have one question regarding the new charging station. Is that the learning you came with, saying my business hotel should be half free floating, half charging station, or is it just like need based because you mentioned an example, meaning that is it free floating not a good solution in the end?
No, free floating is a great solution. But what do you mean, charging stations?
Yeah, the where you need to park and like you do loops basically.
No, free floating will always be probably like 99% of our business. But for BC, we want to become more relevant to more of British Columbia. British Columbia is very spread out, right? So in markets where there's not that many people, that's where we're adding station bases as an option. We like that we never launch station based in the same area as free floating in the main parts of the city.
Any other questions?
Do you have to protect your brand at each time you launch a new service to trademark it, protect
legal? So when we first launch, we purchase as many trademarks and copyrights as possible in the car share space. Evo, actually Enterprise, one thing that's tough for us with Enterprise Car Rental has trademarked Evo in rental. So we can never enter car rental, but car sharing we have. So yeah, every time we want something, we go to our lawyers and we check. So for return, we have to do a lot of checking and say, what can we do, what can we not do? But we have this blanket coverage right now.
Okay. So you work a lot with municipalities. Have you managed to get subsidies, or when you launched your business, did you get like a part that helped you or something, or absolutely
not? No.
Just building on that, permit costs, how are you finding those? Are you paying full market rate for parking, or?
Yeah, so for our meter parking, we get full rates. So we look at analytics before and after when they park, we provide that to the city. Yeah, we pay those expenses meter rates, yeah.
So do the customers know that you're associated with the insurance company? And is this something that you want to strengthen, or you want to get as far away from the insurance company association as possible?
No, people know it. So BCAA, as an automobile association, is considered one of the most trusted brands in all of BC.
So you're leveraging.
Yeah, so we leverage it. And it's very loved.
And how much did it help you when you got started?
So I would say when we first started, we tried to separate as much as possible, because BCA, as I showed you, BCA is old, right? So we wanted to talk to the kids, to the younger people, right? We didn't want to be like your grandmother's brand. And so it was kind of finding that balance. And so BCA didn't want to just launch Evo on its own. They wanted eventually to build value for the Automobile Association. So you join Evo, right? It makes sense for you now. But maybe one day you buy a house and you want to buy home insurance. So it makes sense. So there is that connection. So we talk in a completely different voice. The marketing is different, but on every single car in the back, it says created by BCAA. So everybody knows that we are connected. Like that's our parent, that's our grandma. This Dave, we love her, but
You mentioned at some point relocation is one of the important strategies, yeah. If I may ask, how many percent of your cars are relocated? On average, on a daily basis or a weekly basis?
I don't have the exact number, I can get it for you. But we have a team that's out on a daily basis. So it depends, right? Like, if there's a big concert in town, and we say we're gonna offer special parking at this concert, then all the cars end up there. So we have teams moving them a lot, but I don't know the exact number.
Yeah, because for every car relocation,
yeah.
You need to send two drivers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how the work works.
Yes, two drivers. We send them with truck, but with vans almost. Right? We send them with it's a van. They send five relocators, they drop them off and then pick them up. Yeah. So it's tough. I'll give you the number.
Yeah. Have you experimented with any other ways of moving your relocators, like micro mobility, public transport, to get them between relocations without needing another driver? Have you tried anything like that?
You move the car and then they use transit to move.
Or an e-scooter or whatever it might be.
I don't know. No. I'll find out. I don't think we really have, right?
You've got roof racks, you can toss a bike on the top and they like
to totally. Yeah. We've tried everything. Mm. We we've done like five of us in Evo that follows another Evo. I don't know if we've done much in public transit, but these cars that need to be relocated are usually not near transit,
yep.
Right? So the amount of time it would take for them to walk, and I don't think we've done much biking. So I'll ask them. Yeah.
I think I saw bike rack lights, like a piece of hardware.
Yeah.
How are those going for you?
We're testing them. So yeah. So putting bike racks and ski racks on your car looks really cool. It's the worst operational decision we've made. every month we have one or two bikes that drive into a underground and rip the roof rack off. But we made that decision that like the coolness factor probably outweighs the terribleness factor. And so we just worked with the university to come up with a tracking system that like we put on the racking and it like light flashes. Just launched it last month in like 150 cars, so I can find out how it's going. And I don't know if we've seen a drastic reduction in roof racks being ripped off. Yeah. It looks cool.
You push your racks or bike racks on the whole fleet because if you're floating, if you have, I don't know, 100 cars, like people with ski racks, and they're not at the right locations, and they want one with ski racks.
They all have ski racks, all 2,000.
They all have.
Every car has ski racks and bike racks.
There's not an option when you move anyway.
No, every car looks exactly the same. Go ahead.
You have 2,000 cars, and the utilization rate is around 60%. I guess you need to pay 100% parking fee. I guess, you know, parking fee itself is not the, you know, small amount. Do you
it's
have
not
any
small enough that
actions to yeah. minimize what decrease parking fee?
So we'd love to. So a lot of parking, so everything is not like a underground parking lot. So a lot, we have a lot of city parking. So those permits are not that expensive. It's like $75 a car a year. So that's not that much, but it lets you park anywhere in the city, right? In certain lots, we buy 10 spots that are branded, but then we have overflow rates. So they're like 25 cents an hour kind of thing, right? So those are for the extra cars. So there are negotiated rates on top of like the main cars we buy, but like the expensive parking is meter parking. So we have some negotiation power, but yeah, it's they're not all private parking lots. A lot of city street parking that's the cheapest you can get in the city.
You mentioned you have a differentiation between car rental companies and car sharing companies.
Yeah.
Is it like because it is local regulation already in place or something you find out you are in the same business or you are in competition and you want to?
No. It's a legal definition we made with, for example, Enterprise, only because they own the rights to Evo in car rental. So for us, the differentiation, it's just for this trademark issue, right? So the differentiation is that you don't need to sign a new member agreement every time you want to reserve a car. You become a member once and you can access the cars. They're free-floating and they're on demand. So for us, those were kind of like the three differentiators that differentiate us, like the car share from car rental. But again, I think it just depends on how the legal team define them. Yeah.
Your Evo Return, the station-based, is that station-based booking?
What does that mean?
You make an advance booking rather than
station-based. Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, so you can book up to 30 days in advance and your trip can last up to 30 days. But you can also book it right on the spot too.
Right.
Minimum booking's an hour in that.
Just with airport, I'm curious if you happen to know your relocation, like how much organic versus inorganic.
Airport's probably the spot we need to do the most relocation in. Yeah, I'd say it's probably 50%.
And in which way do you need to rebalance?
We need to take them out of the airport.
Yeah. Do you know how long it takes you to get a new car in the fleet? Just like installing a blue box and everything because that's currently.
What do you guys know? You're so fast. It takes like I think a day to inflate a car, but to put a blue box in the car, like our team, they have races to see how fast they can get it in. I think we could get a blue box like installed in like a minute, like it's crazy. Yeah, but it's probably
for 7.5 years.
Yeah, it's probably about a day. We have to deck all the cars, put the racking on, blue boxes. So we budget about one full day closing.
Okay.
or we're fast at those bucks, like car racing.
Anything else for Amidus?
Yeah. What are the struggles for the users? You know, in Paris for the cashing for 1 month was the cleanliness of the girls.
Yeah.
What the users are getting back to you?
A car right when they need it. So like in certain busy areas, so for our downtown West End, it's really hard to find a car. So like we're launching radar in the fall, which lets you pick like a zone that once a car becomes available, it lets you know so you can book it. So the availability of vehicles is probably something they need. Yeah, they also like don't like dirty cars.
I think we've got one more.
Yeah, so I have hundreds of questions. We have a lot of time tomorrow. So how often are you cleaning the cars?
We're cleaning the cars 4 times a month. 2 internal cleans, 2 exterior cleans.
Okay, and the regular interval?
Yeah, they get about 1 clean a week.
So there's no dependency on the demand?
There is. So anytime, if a customer calls us and says, like, hey, this car is dirty, we take it out and it gets pushed up. But if it's standard practice, it's 4, 2 internal, 2 external a month. Yeah. But you can tell. So you can rate the cleanliness of your car in the app at the beginning, and if it's bad, car can be.
Just last regard, do you track NPS? NPS, what's your...
NPS?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do track NPS. But NPS is weird, because we don't do it after a transaction. We just do it randomly.
Okay.
And so I think our NPS is... I don't want to give the wrong number, I have to get it. I think it's in the 40s, but it's not post-transaction. It's if you've ever after you've taken 7 trips within the past 6 months, we'll send you an NPS request. So it's more in general how you feel. So it's not a true test, but it's still interesting. Yeah, I think it's in the 40s.
Maybe we have to move to the next
thing. Yeah. Amidus, your time is up.
Eric and Denise.
Great. If we have the